Now, everything old is new again. America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. We are revisiting the Long Island Doctor Who convention from November of 2014, which Everything Old is New Again attended, David Cohen and myself.
Yes.
Right? We
fun.
Had a dynamic, exuberant time.
We did. Both dynamic and exuberant.
Exactly. It was a lot of fun. It was a two-day event. Actually, I think they had 3 days and a night before they did music. So we didn't attend all of these things. But I honestly, looking back, kind of wished I did because it was really a fun event.
It was really fun. I mean, the people watching was great. And the little breakout sessions were really, really interesting, all of them.
Yeah, and when you say breakout sessions, you're actually talking about, harking back to Star Trek conventions. Star Trek conventions are more, they're getting a little away from it, but they're more orientated towards stars and people that were on the show and listening to them speak and getting their autographs that you pay for and getting their photographs that you pay for and other things and paraphernalia that they're selling. And trust me, it's a lot of fun. I'm not putting it down at all. But it's a different feel for the Doctor Who, because what they did, again, they had a number of stars, but not anybody from the recent show, but still, you know, a number of stars that were doing panels discussing the Doctor Who phenomenon and their participation in it, taking questions, which, again, Star Trek does also. But the thing I thought was very interesting when you say breakout, they had other panels, a full day of three or four rooms filled with scheduling. So maybe I'm going to make it up, but I think probably about like 20 different panels, not all of them with stars of the show.
Right.
A lot
right.
of them with fans that had, you know, topics to talk about.
Yeah, that are such super fans about one aspect or segment of the show that they packed the room. So
yeah, so I mean, that really isn't cool. That pretty cool? I mean,
it
you know,
really
they didn't the topic, and this is the way Star Trek conventions used to be back in the day, but now there's so many actors, and listen, everyone loves to meet the actors and talk to them and all. I'm not putting it down. But to me, and Star Trek's starting to do this now in Vegas. I was there. They're starting to do some of this. It's nice to have something else besides, you know, how long did it take to put the makeup on or something, you know?
Yeah, right,
and hear that
right.
again or the same kind of questions. It's nice to hear fandom, you know, kind of drive these seminars, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
You see the exuberance. And we'll talk about later on tonight. They had a show – I shouldn't say show, a panel, Star Trek. What's the similarities between Star Trek and Doctor Who?
That's crazy.
Which is pretty fun.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a lot of other things, which we'll talk about. But I want to just take a look back in this section of the show of the 2005 incarnation, what would we call this, a reboot of Doctor Who. And how successful it is. It's on BBC America, and it's really having great ratings, I think. And it's something that Frasier Hines, who was a character in the original series, has some nice comments about when I asked him.
And have you seen some of the new incarnation, any of the shows since, say, 2005?
Yes, I have, and I must say I do like Peter Capaldi because I thought it was time for an older Doctor. He's serious, but I think with Capaldi, he's got a little twinkle in his eye that, he could be a bit naughty.
And every so often, it's early in the series, but there is a little homage here and there to the past.
That's right. The other week, there was a picture of Patrick Troughton as Robin Hood, when he was Robin Hood on TV, and I thought, I like it when they keep going back, and when David Tennant called himself Captain James Robert McCrimmon, I thought, that's nice, they just, you know, remember the past. That's good.
And I think that serves in a nice way where people are watching the program now, but they're reminded of the history and maybe turn on wherever it might be that they can get the older episodes.
And with kids coming up to me now, and they've got the DVDs, the old black and white. And I said, do you watch the black and white? Oh, yes, very scary, the black and white, which is the classic rocks. That's what I say.
and he's talking about it. Also, interesting, I caught that little bit about a picture about Robin Hood. He's talking about, because sometimes I mention actors, you may not know what he's referencing, you know. He's talking about the new show where there's a picture in the background of an actor that played Doctor Who back in the 60s in the background.
That's great.
So it's an homage, you know, they're saying.
Right.
So it's nice to see that, and I've talked to these people and get every quote on the radio here, but what they were saying in some ways was they know that the writers of the new shows were fans back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and so then they're doing this on purpose, of course, and they want to bring, they want to make it more serious and more contemporary now, but they want to not forget the past.
Right.
Which is exactly what our show is, I think.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, we're giving an homage or
we have to get that picture of you when you played Peter Pan many years ago. That would
actually
be really funny.
I did play not Peter Pan, but I played the one of the brothers. I still remember my line. You ready?
Go ahead.
Here, Peter, you could use my sword.
Wow, I love the English accent.
Well, I'm no Captain Balzac, but that's an homage back to our show about pirates and the pirate genre a couple of episodes back. If you missed any of those episodes, feel free to listen to everything old is new again, .biz, or listen to them on that website. Let's hear Wendy Padbury, what she has to say about the new actors.
Have you seen the difference in the doctors and interpretations, and is there one that catches your fancy, as you would say?
Well, I have to say that obviously my favorite was Patrick Troughton, and I am slightly biased. I did love David Tennant, but then he's so gorgeous, what's not to love? And Matt Smith I liked. I really, really liked Matt Smith, but then I was Matt's agent, so I am slightly biased about him as well. And Peter, I went to the screening at the Odeon in Leicester Square of his first episode. And I think he's going to be sensational. But that first episode, at the very beginning, I was nervous for him. It's a big thing, you know, for an actor to take on the mantle of the Doctor. But as the story went on, I thought, yeah, okay, you're going to be absolutely brilliant. And I think he is.
We're running short on time, but that was Wendy Padbury, who was the third companion back and played that character a couple of years back in the 60s.
Wow.
A lot of fun. Let's just, before we jump to the commentary, let's listen to Ms. Asbrook, a different character, talking about the Long Island convention experience.
We're on Long Island in Ronkonkoma at a convention that's going to run for 3 days here. Yes. Have you participated in conventions before? And if so, what are your expectations, do you feel, for this weekend?
I was here for the first one, and I happen to know the guy who's running it, Ken Deep, who he's the best, in my opinion. He runs the conventions the best. The guests are happy. He creates such a great atmosphere and so many fun things to do and so many great combinations of people, wonderful panels, music. We did the big concert last night. So, I mean, he's just throws everything at it.
So from a fan's point of view, this is a situation where fans can come to the convention and not just look and stare, but maybe possibly interact with people that are involved in the show.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's just so much fun.
I had fun speaking with her. We'll talk to her a little bit later again. But just introducing what the experience is like for fans and for the actors at these Doctor Who conventions. And back to Wendy Padbury also. These people are coming back from the early 60s. Ms. Ashbrook is from The Incarnation in 96. So the actors are experiencing the convention circuit. And having a lot of fun with that as well. Let's just listen to the Master's theme for a few moments. On Everything Old is New Again, .biz. This is one of the major villains of Doctor Who, the theme for the Master.
I'm Steve Sitkowski, a former Wall Street insider. I'm holding a book that will show you investing strategies which could help you earn the kind of money you've always dreamed about. And right now, I'm giving this book away for free. So who needs to read it? If you're in the middle of your career and worry you'll never have enough money to retire, you need to read this book. If you're already retired and your income isn't enough, you need to read this book. And if you don't want to be selling burgers at 80, you need to read this free book. It includes the strategy I use to make a 72% profit on a trade where the stock only moved 12%. You'll need at least $1 million to ever fully retire. If you're behind on that goal, you really need to read Trade Like the Pros. And you can for free by calling 1-800-941-5968. Skeptical that it will deliver results? It's a free book, so what do you have to lose? Find out how at 1-800-941-5968. 1-800-941-5968. 5968.
When you're looking for a job, changing your career, or applying for a promotion, your resume is the first thing seen that represents you to a potential employer. Make sure your resume makes a clear, concise, and professional impression of who you are so you can get that job. Send your current resume to resumedoctorinc@aol.com for a free online review. You'll receive a reasonable quote to properly prepare your resume. Let us make sure you have a resume that will get you noticed. Send your resume or questions to resumedoctorinc@aol.com. That's resumedoctorinc@aol.com.
Anyone can create a podcast on the web. In fact, there are millions of them online. But if you want quality internet talk radio, just remember this address, TalkZone.com. TalkZone is internet talk radio for planet Earth with talented hosts, great guests, and good conversation. Ready to share your thoughts and ideas with a global audience? Become a TalkZone show host yourself. Learn more at TalkZone.com. Internet talk radio for planet Earth.
TalkZone.com.
You're listening to Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Hi, it's Yi-Ji Cho. I play Chang Li in the Doctor Who TV movie, and you're listening to Everything Old is New Again.
How about that?
That's a cool one. I like that.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward. I'm looking forward to building our repertoire of these. They call them returns in the radio business when we come back from commercials.
Are we in the radio business?
Well, we're on the radio.
That's a better way to say it.
How much of the business we're in. But anyway, this is Everything Old is New Again, in case you're just tuning in. And we are enjoying a nice discussion and repertoire between David Cohen and myself about the Long Island Doctor Who convention experience that we had in November of 2014. And the person or the people that were putting this convention on were gracious enough to have us come in, speak with any and all of the guests that they had attending.
We set up our little booth.
Set up a booth and said hello to some of the fans. Some of them basically went to stop by and asked us which way is the men's room. But, I mean...
Well, the fact that we were parked right outside the men's room, I think, kind
of
helped.
We gave a lot of directions out to a lot of people. They didn't actually know who we were. But
they had no choice but to pass us.
I remember one time, you know, they let out. We were also near one of these rooms where they have the symposiums, you know, these panels. And they let out, and it was a thin little area to walk by, and a lot of people walking by.
And it it slowed down, so they had to stop, actually, in front of our booth,
exactly.
Waiting to exit.
And
it was a the quintessential captive audience.
Yes, and we had fun, and I think
you fancied it, from what I remember. We were talking before about Doug's interview where he asked, who was it?
Wendy Padbrick,
which doctor she fancied, as you would put it, Doug said.
Yeah, it all went awry with her. She's a lovely lady. I never even say that about that word lovely too much, but she really is.
Yeah, what is this? Lovely.
And I'm gushing about it because she was tremendous, but everything I said to her went awry at one point or another. We'll hear that later on.
Oh, cool.
So a little behind the scenes. Right now, though, Daphne Ashbrook was an attendee at recent Star Trek conventions as well, and she's going to give us a little perspective on that versus the Doctor Who's experience.
Everyone in Doctor Who that I've ever met, they love interacting, and they're generous with their time. It's just really special, and it's not like that on other cons. I've been to other cons too, because I've been on Star Trek too, and those cons are different. It's a little more business. It's a little more distant from people. I don't enjoy that. I've realized that's not what I like to do.
When you say business, you're probably talking about, I guess, the opportunities where fans would have photographs or autographs with you. In those conventions are a little bit different than
it's just sort of more like a production. You know, it's just like move them in, move them out, move them in, move them out, And there's no real chance to kind of really stop, take a breath, and get to know people.
So, you know, I hope I don't get her into trouble because she was so nice as well. But she knew she was being recorded, so, you know,
right.
That's fine. It's not that controversial, but, I mean, she does prefer the Doctor Who experience. But bearing in mind, she was a major character in the film, and in Star Trek she was, you know, a big character. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But it's interesting, the perspective from an actor or actress, you know, it's been to both and what she experiences.
Right.
You know, and this it shows how the interaction is important to her. It's kind of fun,
right,
you know.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
This person wants to be at this convention and wants to talk to the fans. I'm not saying people in Star Trek don't like that, aren't like that, but you know, you have good and bad in everything. I'm sure there are people on both sides of the aisle that kind of like they're there for the paycheck.
Right,
you know,
right.
I'm sure
exactly.
Of that.
Exactly. They don't mind the cattle calls of the Star Trek conventions because, you know, they don't have to work too hard. They don't want to. But she seems to genuinely enjoy talking with people.
Yeah, and she was all over that convention. She had a lot of fun.
The con, as she calls it.
The con, right. And there's other opportunities at the convention besides autographs and panels. They actually have people watch, you know, the stars watch a particular episode with an open mic and talk about the experience itself. Let's see what that's about.
What is your general overall experience with the fan interaction at the various conventions that you've been to?
It's amazing, and they are amazing. They make the convention. We happen to be there by the grace of God. We happen to be in something that has become so popular. And if it wasn't for the fans, we would not be here doing these conventions. They're brilliant. I salute them every time.
I guess they're going to show the episode and leave a mic open for you?
Yeah, that right. Maybe to recall some things that happened during filming, something like that. And anything really to get the fans interested. They're interested anyway. They're just so good.
So have you done that before?
Yes, only once. And it was terrifying. It's like doing a first night in the theatre. But we got through it, and I think they enjoyed it.
Colin Spall is who that was. We've heard from him before.
Yeah.
That's an interesting take. Nice.
Yeah, he's down to earth, you know.
He
appreciates the fact that, yeah, look, there's millions and millions of really great actors out there, and they did get lucky, you know, being in it. So he's appreciative of that.
Right. And let's hear from Wendy Padbury about the panels.
I love a panel because it's always fun. And it doesn't really matter who you do your panel with. I mean, obviously, there's a reason for me doing a panel with, say, Debbie and Fraser, because we're Patrick's little group. So that's always fun. But you know, every convention brings its own thing. Although the basic premise is the same, every convention is different, and it's just a lot of fun. I know the fans. It thoroughly enjoy getting together, regardless of us lot, just to meet mates and have a great weekend. And it's a bit the same for us, you know.
So she's expressing it perfectly, I think, from their point of view. Which is kind of cool. It's like a reunion for them.
It is. You know? It is, absolutely.
She's visiting with people that she hasn't seen in a number of years.
Right.
And she's a very interesting person. She, you know, this is kind of, I think it's interesting. I'll throw it out there. She was on the show in the 60s, early, in the whole experience. She acted for 3 years on the show. She was in her 20s. She quit the show. And then I don't know much of a career that she had thereafter, but at some point, she turned into an agent. And she became the agent of this guy, Matt Smith,
who was one
of the new ones in Doctor Who, Doctors in the 2005 incarnation. So it's funny how it built her career outside of acting.
Right,
she was
right.
An entrepreneur, if you will, really to be respected, that she turned that into, all right, I'll be an agent now.
Right.
I don't know. I find that very interesting.
Yeah, ironic. Yep.
But this is the perception that the Doctor Who fandom has of these people, because all the fans that you saw walking in the hallway immediately, were they frowning, smiling? What was your experience, you think, with these fans?
Oh, you could tell right away they loved being there. That was readily apparent right off the bat. I didn't see one person who felt like they were just being kind of, you know, dragged along because their daughter wanted to go or their dad wanted to go. Everybody looked really into it, like they were having a good time. And as she mentioned, I think they were there more to see each other than necessarily the stars from the show. And we were talking before about how many of those little breakout sessions were given by these, you know, Uber fans, necessarily by anyone really connected to the show. So that was cool.
And, I guess what we're trying to say, I mean, you know, life is so hard, really, outside of some of this entertainment. I mean, for a lot of people, it's difficult and paying bills and going through all the difficulties politically and the world and wars and terrorism, all that. And so it's kind of nice to have something that you could share that's wholesome.
Right.
Really.
That is
wholesome and family oriented, but also, man, 50 years of stories. It goes on and on. There's a lot of stories and
how
stuff
do they keep
going on.
Writing all those stories.
Yeah, it's we'll have to look into that next time we interview these people. I love this this theme of the Doctor Who series.
Oh, groovy.
Yeah,
it's groovy.
And Everything Old Is New Again. Jamie McCrammon was. we'll be back in a couple of seconds when we hear this.
If you own a business, you know incorporating can be a smart way to protect yourself and your assets. So the question is, why haven't you incorporated your business yet?
My business? It's too small.
Wrong. No matter how small your business, you run the risk of losing all your personal assets, your car, your home, even your entire life savings if you're not incorporated.
Incorporating is very complicated.
Actually, incorporating is easy and fast. You can do it in just 10 minutes. Call now for your free guide from incorporate.com. 1-800-945-8645.
I need a lawyer to incorporate. That's really expensive.
You don't need a lawyer, and we don't offer legal or financial advice. Incorporate.com is a service company whose only mission is helping people like you incorporate safely, easily, and quickly. Find out how simple it is to protect your family and personal assets by incorporating. Call now for your free guide. 1-800-945-8645. 1-800-945-8645. That's 1-800-945-8645.
This show is sponsored by the Law Office of Douglas Viviani. Douglas Viviani has been providing quality legal services for over 26 years. We are a general practice firm and can handle any legal matter you may have for a reasonable fee. If you were involved in a car accident, starting a business, planning your estate, or need of a criminal attorney, please call 631-681-1910 or email us at vivianilaw@aol.com. Get the justice you deserve. Contact the Law Office of Douglas Viviani.
If you want to register your own .com and are looking for a responsible, sustainable, high-quality domain name registrar, then look at Pernick.com. Pernick includes a ton of value-added services like a parking page, Whois, privacy, dynamic DNS, and much more with every domain name registration at no extra cost. Not many companies can say that. So give Pernick.com a try today. Pairnic.com.
Now, back to America's entertainment pop culture talk show, Everything Old is New Again, with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Hey, this is Daphne Ashbrook, and you're listening to Everything Old is New Again. It's lovely.
Hmm, she says lovely. See, if the other fella called me brilliant, she's calling me lovely.
She's not English, though.
No, she's doing the same thing I did with the...
She wasn't calling you lovely. You got to get off this
thing.
Yeah,
I think she was. I really do. I think it just went well with all these people.
Did you fancy that?
I think she fancied me. I don't know. Let's take a look. Am I wrong? Let's listen to what went on here a little behind the scenes. I don't know.
Thank you very much for your time. We certainly appreciate it, and it's been a pleasure.
You're sweet. Thank
we'll
you
love
so
love to
much.
See you again.
Thank you.
I don't know if you... Did you catch that? No? Listen to what she says.
Pleasure.
You're sweet. Thank
we'll
you
love
so
to
much.
See you again.
Thank you.
You're sweet.
She's calling me
sweet.
You're sweet. It's nice. A nice little something there. You don't think it went too swimmingly
Fine. What's your point, though?
I want you to listen to a little of the compliments that we got as we went along.
Oh,
this is
God.
A lot of fun.
All right.
We'll agree on that.
Okay. Fair enough.
You're a diplomat.
Paul McGann calling me a diplomat.
You're a diplomat.
Yeah, you hear it behind the scenes. And you got this, Colin Spall.
I have the pleasure of interviewing and speaking with Mr. Colin Spall.
Brilliant, thank you so much. It's great to be back.
He says you're brilliant right there.
He didn't say you're brilliant.
And this is my wife says I have a fertile imagination where I insert like meanings to stuff that really doesn't exist.
You? No.
Yeah, it's possible.
Come on.
Well, let's see what this character has to say.
Crossover, there's, you know, maybe like 60 to 80% of the content is, you know, has probably been gone over before, but there's some unique stuff always. Like, same with interviews. You know, we're talking about stuff now that I've never talked about before.
E.G. Chow, you know, complimenting me how we've, after all these discussions he's had, we're finally asking questions he's never asked before.
Why do you feel you need to this recognition about how well you did? That's...
I guess
puzzling.
That we could put me on the couch there and see. It might be something.
I'd like to know.
Well, it could be something to do with, you know, going to see cats and being, if you heard our show on Broadway and hearing the way I was treated thereafter, going to the Dracula movie and thinking I would get some kind of accolade for showing a certain young lady a nice time at that, and how that went awry. I think it is kind of a theme there.
Wow, that really affected you, those two events.
Well, for the purposes of the show, they did, yes.
I think it goes beyond the show. But that's another show. Let's do another show. We'll have you on the couch.
That wouldn't be bad. It would be.
No, it would actually be pretty interesting, I think.
You'd open up a can of worms. You'd have to do, like, it'd be more than the September Silliness 10-show episode. It might become like a subplot of
a 20-parter. Right?
So I don't know if... if you thought that I was,
you did
doing
fine.
Well,
yes,
though,
you did well. Right, okay, so. Is that what you wanted to hear?
But I don't know what you you're not feeling too good about. I want to hear what Wendy Padbury has to say.
I'm welcoming Wendy Padbury from the Doctor Who series. Now, we're celebrating Doctor Who here, over 51 years of this series being on the air. And I know you've probably been asked almost every question under the planet. What question have you not been asked that you want to ask?
No, I have been asked pretty much everything. So, there's nothing that I can think of that, other than anything that's not to do with Doctor Who. Plenty of those sort of questions. Yeah.
Very good.
State of the world, you know.
Well, time is limited. Otherwise, we could probably solve the world's problems.
Yes.
But we'll have to resign ourselves to Doctor Who. And along those lines, you were the second companion, or...
No, not the second companion. I was the second Doctor.
Right, and that was back in 1966, so I could...
1968.
Oh, my information is wrong.
I was
apologize.
In Doctor Who 1968 to 1969.
Terrific.
The freaking Wikipedia gets them wrong, man.
I told you about
it. It's got to be corrected at some point. So we such a lovely lady, but man, started off and... I mean, I have to be... Maybe this is some of the reason why I wanted to get the compliments for the others, because this started to go awry a little bit.
Now you're showing the bad side.
Yeah, I'm trying to be honest. It went awry a little bit. Not her fault, more or less, you know, my fault. I tried again. I went back on the horse. Let's see.
Have you followed the program since you've left?
Yes, not religiously, but on and off I've always made a point of seeing each new Doctor as they've come along, because, you know, why wouldn't I?
And do you make a point of seeing each new companion as well, or just the new Doctor?
No, mainly just the new Doctors.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to get her to talk about the companions, because she was a companion, and she's not going there at all. It's like, no, just the Doctors, I'm not giving you more than that, that's it.
She's a bit... batty, though, isn't she?
No.
Because she said, why wouldn't I? Why? Of course I want to see the different Doctors, because why wouldn't I? I'm like, well, I can give you a million reasons why you wouldn't. I mean, that...
Not on a show
understand.
About the Doctor Who conventions, we wouldn't give those reasons.
No, I mean, for her, why does she have to go right. and see
Well, she's a staple of the show. I mean, she had been on for years and years, and when it was just starting out.
I'm just trying to help you out here, Doug.
Yeah, I know. I'll try one more try.
This has been going on for 51 years.
I know.
And do you have, since you're sort of in the foundational area where you've built this legend or helped to build the legend, the question is, do you have an explanation as to how it's continuing and why?
I have no idea. I mean, if I knew that, you know, I'd be a wealthy woman.
I mean, it just I couldn't get it right.
Every question, she just shot you down.
Poor lady. I mean, she's probably thinking to herself, who is this boob with this show that, you know, talks about everything old is new again, or what the heck is going on?
Well, but I don't know if it was you, because, well, you did get some of the facts wrong, but
yeah.
But still, she could have just been, okay, does it matter whether it was 46 or 48, you know?
Well, all right.
The fact that she had to, like, point out your mistakes was a little...
Well, she wasn't perfect either. She made some mistakes.
Very much looking forward to seeing you this weekend. There's a lot of interaction, photographs, panels, and so forth. And we'll be introducing that on our show. And thank you very much for appearing on Everything Old is New again. I appreciate your time.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would you mind being able to just do a quick who you are and that you're listening to Everything Old is New again?
We
do that as a return.
Everything Old is New.
Everything Old is New again.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
There you go.
Everything Old as new.
Is new again.
Get it
the wrong
one. Oh, yeah. Everything new is old again.
Everything old is new again. Okay.
I love that. I love that.
Okay. Hello, my name's Wendy Padbury, and I'm listening to Everything Old Is New Again.
Here you go. Don't spread it the wrong way. You're going to confuse people. They won't get it on the internet.
I mean, we were having fun, but we just couldn't get it right.
I thought it was over. Sorry, right. I stepped in, I loved in your voice though when she said everything new is old again. You went everything old is new again. It's like you little thank goodness.
I wonder if she was sort of subliminally like all the mistakes I was making. If she was making that mistake on purpose just to kind of zing me, you know?
Like, how old is she?
I don't know. I don't. She looks wonderful. Old. She's very active. She's very spry. I'm not picking right. on her, honestly. Let's be clear about it.
No,
we're just
that,
having fun with
but
her.
But she's not like 95 years
no.
old or
no,
something,
no,
right?
No, so she's very with it. No.
Very with it. So, no.
All right, so listen, she never heard of our show before. You know, she's been, you know, living under a rock. I guess now she knows who we are. And but it was a lot of fun, you know, speaking with her and all the other people. And I'm just having fun here with the idea that I you know, was so great, but I was sweet to Daphne.
Yes, look, they all liked you, so you did a good job.
Yeah, if they were standing outside right now, looking in, like waiting for a flight, we're in MacArthur Airport now, waiting for a flight back to England or something, they're looking in, they would not know who I am for Adam.
Oh, look at that!
I don't know. I try,
gentlemen. Thankfully, they're not interviewing us.
Is everything new? Is old again?
He looks like such a creep.
Have you put off seeing the dentist because you can't afford to go? Are big dental bills taking a big toll on your wallet? Would you like to have dental insurance but think it's too expensive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company for a free information kit. See how you can help protect your teeth and your wallet for less than a dollar a day. 1-800-893-0322. This is real dental insurance that can help cover over 300 procedures, all the ones you're most likely to need. Everything from cleanings and fillings to crowns and dentures. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired or on Medicare. You can see any dentist you choose, and you'll never pay a deductible. Call in the next 10 minutes, and we'll rush you a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-893-0322. That's 1-800-893-0322. 1-800-893-0322.
This is an urgent message for all individuals with extremely large credit card debt. No matter how much you owe on your credit cards, the company that has settled more debt than anyone in the U.S. could settle your debt too. While you make one low monthly program payment, you have the opportunity to hear how low your monthly program payment could be for free. This free information is available now simply by calling Freedom Debt Relief at 1-800-940-4409. I repeat, if you have extremely large credit card debt, you now have the ability to reduce your total debt and get one simple low monthly program payment. This could allow you to resolve your debt faster than you ever thought possible. But you should act quickly. Call Freedom Debt Relief now to learn how much you could save. 1-800-940-4409. Again, this life-changing information is available for free. To find out how much you may be able to save, call today. 1-800-940-4409. That's 1-800-940-4409. 1-800-940-4409.
This is Everything Old Is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Hello, my name's Wendy Padbury, and I'm listening to Everything Old Is New Again.
Ah, there we go. You
she
see?
Got it right.
Got it right.
Isn't well, it? Wasn't it, and you're listening to? Shouldn't it be instead of I'm listening to?
Well, she's listening now. She's a big fan. She didn't understand what the show was about, and now she's a huge fan.
She has a firm grasp on what we do.
Because she fancies our show at this point. A fool I made of myself with that poor lady. Everybody else I did great, but I think I made a real idiot of myself. She was the greatest. But anyway, this is Douglas Viviani. That's David Cohen. We are talking about Everything Old Is New Again, the Star Trek, the Doctor Who experience, the Doctor Who convention. I mentioned Star Trek because there was a panel there where they speak about Star Trek, and Doctor Who and some similarities, and it was run by some just some fans, and I stepped into that, and I don't know, I'll bring you in there with a little bit of a clip here, see what was going on.
So, where should we begin? Well, similarities between Star Trek and Doctor Who.
Well, both shows appeal to us because, like, Star Trek has been said to be, like, by Roddenberry's vision, a wagon train to the stars.
You can tell stories in space that you can't tell on Earth.
But it also can reflect social issues and cultural issues and stuff.
That's actually the thing, that both shows were tackling things in the 60s. Things like, you know, Nazism and totalitarianism and civil rights and all of that. They were doing things that shows, other shows couldn't or wouldn't do.
Well, if you look at the Borg and the Cybermen, both of them are alien races that are bent on destroying humanity and eliminating individuality and emotions and feelings. And
Not really a great clip. I apologize for the quality of that. But I don't know if you heard what they were kind of saying. Maybe did you make it out or no?
It was a little hard to hear.
Yeah.
It was a little hard to hear. Well, why don't you sum it up?
Or you weren't listening.
No, I was listening. This time I was listening. Okay.
No, but it's they were talking about how the similarities of the two shows were more or less on the social issues that were attacked or approached or talked about in various episodes of both shows. Talk about civil rights, totalitarianism. I talked about individuality, how important the individual is versus, you know, being just, you know, part of a mob or a group.
That was impossible to hear. I did not hear that.
I apologize. I tried to clean it up as much as possible, but it was said well.
I could tell they're into it, though.
Yeah, I mean, these people, I mean, not to make fun of me, these people, they're thinkers, you know.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see that. See people that are getting out of fiction and science fiction in particular here, something that's relevant to their life that they're thinking about and affects them maybe for the positive.
Right.
You know, I mean, we go through our day every day and we're worried about the traffic light, or you're worried about, you know, will you have it for lunch and that kind of stuff. And, you know, day to day issues, and we have lots of stuff on our plate. But when you have, I think, when you have some kind of entertainment that gives you the chance to widen your horizons, it's fun.
Or thought provoking, makes you think instead of just, you know, sitting there watching some sitcom.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, you know, and sitting there trying to decide, like, you know, what's the, you know, the best sitcom of all time. I mean, it's just silly.
You beat me to it.
But we're of course referencing a show, ten shows we did on that topic.
Ten.
There were half hour shows at those.
But didn't we probe deep into the deep meaning behind sitcoms? No.
Not in those 10, no.
those 10.
You can look back. We'll do that in the future. Well, you can look back at those, and please feel free to do so on everythingoldisnewagain.biz. We have our podcast there, so you can listen to the older, you know, shows that we've done and see how we've grown from there, if at all. We also, while at this convention, spoke with the 8th Doctor, Paul McGann, and I hinted a little bit about this previously, how radio drama was and still is very big in Europe and in Britain in particular, and how he's done so many of these radio plays that he's quite known for being the Doctor, not just for the one time he played it in 1996, but for all these radio plays. I asked him about
you
that.
You didn't end your association with Doctor Who with just that performance.
And 3 years later, we began. I was invited to begin the Big Finish Audios, the audio adventures, which have really now grown and grown and grown from that. More and more and more and more people now have the pennies dropped about them, and they're buying them.
And I think you've played the part approximately 70 times in that way. So then the question is, are you not the one that's played the Doctor more than anyone else if you combine the incarnations?
I don't know about that. I never counted. Whatever number it is, you just say, I'll believe you. I've never counted them. They call me the longest and the shortest. That's the name which I wear with pride. although I probably shouldn't.
Certainly, being on the radio, we respect the audio just as much as the movie and as the
video. Yeah, I'm a great champion of it. And I'm, every time I come to the USA, I'm kind of mystified as to, because I'm convinced this is where radio drama really started, right, its first heyday. There was once a great tradition of radio drama here, which has kind of lapsed. I don't think the love for it has lapsed amongst people that get it. You know, the fans would love it, I think. Whereas in Britain, say, we can have careers as performers. So for us, still, it's a strong tradition. But I'm glad now to see that it's finding its feet again.
I think that's an interesting perspective. Just as an idea, just to get the longest and the shortest, he means the shortest time as the doctor on television or, you know, in that movie. He only did the one movie, but the longest, because again, he's done this, he doesn't realize, but he's done 70 of these radio plays, and that's 70 appearances
right.
as this character, and I think that's more than most, if not any, other doctor.
He really does sound like Paul McCartney. Are they from this, is he from Liverpool?
You know, when we get McCartney on the show, I think he's calling in from Southampton one of these days. We'll have him say the same things this fella says, and we'll do a little comparison. I think he'll have fun with that.
I wonder if McCartney's a Doctor Who fan.
I bet he is.
I bet he is.
I would bet that he grew up with it.
You
know, absolutely. Yeah. I would think so. Most people are, you know, that are from England are. It's the number one show right now.
Right.
Speaking of McCartney, we had Terry Malloy, who was a fellow that was at the Cavern back in the day with right after the Beatles. Let's see what he had to say.
I may ask a kind of a difficult question, but since the Cavern is not there anymore,
yeah.
is there some way you might be able to describe the environment of the Cavern, or at least the look of it, as it was in the day that you were performing?
Well, you can imagine it was an old industrial building, basically, and it was down in the cellar. So you imagine very low arched, you know, sort of place you'd kind of stash wine, like big wine vaults and things. Very cramped, very small, actually, not much bigger than, you know, a fairly large-sized bedroom. Very hot, very sweaty. The walls just dripped all the time. And with a band room just off, you know, and a tiny, tiny stage about the size of a double bed, you know, which you had to get all your gear on, you know. But created just a really great atmosphere. It was a great place to be.
That was kind of interesting.
Definitely.
You know, a perspective. We did a Beatles show.
I keep
referring back. But, you know, we did a Beatles show. Take a look at that. And that really brings a color to what it was like to be in the Tavern. The Cavern.
I didn't realize how small it was.
Neither did I.
You can't tell from the pictures.
And
right?
It kind of brings it alive a little bit with the walls sweating it
yes.
down in the basement, you know, kind of with a lot of people and that kind of thing.
Crazy.
So that was what it was like to be in the Cavern in the 60s. He was in a band thereafter at the Cavern.
Oh, is that when you said performing, that's what he was doing?
Yes, he was a saxophone player for a blues band that the Cavern started to turn to in like the 66, 67. They started to play more blues in that location.
Right.
That was he was talking about. Cool. Very interesting. All of these people have experiences beyond Doctor Who, of course. And I tried to bring a little of that out with some of them. And certainly with Terry, it was just a nice little find that he could bring something like that to the table.
What's great about the show, too, is, I mean, how many of these actors flew over from Great Britain? All right, that's a long way to come to, you know, this isn't a huge convention. It's in Long Island. It's not really in New York City. So it's not in a big metropolitan area. I mean, New York generally is, but it just shows you the impact that the show is having.
Right.
And
the commitment that they have to the show, but also talk about the size. This convention, believe it or not, had 3,000 people. I'm not saying, you know, it's huge, but it is
big. It's not small.
And it's growing. It's growing. So it's really time to recognize Doctor Who as a contender.
As a force here in America.
There you go. Couldn't have said it better on Everything Old Is Who Again.
Are you suffering with hearing loss? Are you sick of people constantly complaining that your TV is too loud? Are you tired of asking people to speak up? Would you like to hear more clearly, but you don't want to wear a hearing aid that makes you look old? Then you need to try Listen Clear, a life-changing breakthrough precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are, and whatever you're doing. And right now you can try Listen Clear absolutely risk-free with free shipping. We'll even give you free batteries for life. So call now. 1-800-718-3929. Listen Clear is lightweight and completely hassle-free, and it's practically invisible. Call for your 100% risk-free home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-718-3929. That's 1-800-718-3929. 1-800-718-3929.
Did you know that right now you could be carrying around up to 22 pounds of undigested waste? 22 pounds of gunk caked to the inside of your colon, plus toxins we eat and breathe spread throughout our vital organs, making us feel terrible. If you often feel tired, sluggish, and bloated, you need to call for a free trial of Zymbiotics. This revolutionary all-natural product cleanses undigested waste from your colon, flattening your belly and eliminating bloating, heartburn, and acid reflux, so you feel healthy and energetic. For a free full-size trial, call 1-800-935-6026. Because of our poor diets and polluted environment, toxins and waste build up inside us and affect how we feel. In fact, many doctors believe sluggish digestion is the number one reason we feel tired and lethargic. So cleanse your body with the unique herbal formula of Zymbiotics. Call now for your free full-size trial so you can feel healthy and energetic. 1-800-935-6026. That's 1-800-935-6026. 1-800-935-6026.